Welcome to the Lending Forward podcast, brought to you by Atlantic Bay Mortgage Group. This is your home for real discussions about the mortgage and housing industry. Our hosts are here bringing you firsthand accounts every week from people at the heart of the business. And we're chatting with professionals from all corners of the industry as they help cultivate transparency around the future of the industry we love. Together, we are lending forward all we know to you. Thanks for joining us for today's episode. Let's dive in.
Welcome back to another episode of Lending Forward. I'm Hannah. I've got Terrence here, and we are joined by Carolina Muehlman. I'm so excited for this episode, you guys, because I feel like there's a lot of chit-chat out there around first-time home buyers and what people are doing with first-time home buyers. But I don't hear a lot about solutions and actually digging in and talking about it and helping agents understand. So I really wanted to get all of you together to just kind of talk through how you guys are helping your community. So thankfully you both are in Charlotte. So you guys are kind of in the same area, but before we really dig in, I know both of you have been guests before on the podcast, but I want to hear how you got into the industry and then also why you stayed in the industry, because you both have phenomenal stories. Terrence, do you want to go first?
Sure. I'll go first. I was going to say ladies first, but I'll go. I'll jump right out there. But Hannah, thank you for having us. And Carolina, she's like my partner in crime. Although we're both competitive here, but we actually partner a lot and things of that sort. So I'm glad to see, and I'm graceful to host and be here with her on the podcast. But as far as me, I'm Terrence Guess. I've been in industry for, can you believe, 20 years now? So 20
no,
years.
No, you haven't. Has it been 20 years? Flies by when you're having fun.
Yeah, when you start at 3 years old and get your license, it's all good. So with that being said, I got in the industry because I wanted to, I wanted to learn the business. I wanted to learn, mortgages and how do I help and how do I get in touch and things of that sort. And what happened is, being able to get here is it's tough. And it's tough when you take on just all buyers and sellers, but you take on their goal of home ownership. And it's going to look different to many different people. But I think that's what keeps me in it. It keeps me energized and interested is that, everyone's story is different. Everyone's story is their story. So when you sit down and you help, whether it be a couple, whether it be a single individual, whether it be a single mom, a single dad, and they're trying to help their kids, for a certain school district, or they're trying to help, their kids see that home ownership is possible. That's the part that's inviting, but that's the part that's keeps me going and keeps us here. Just before I got on this call, we had a home buyer who just got cleared to close, and she just broke down in tears, and she was just so thankful. And I told her, I said, Mrs. Sturgis, I said, well, you're thanking me, but guess who you need to thank? Thank that person in the mirror, because you did it. We just blessed to be a part of the whole process. So that's what keeps me invigorated, keeps me going, and we feel blessed by it.
That's awesome. I love that. And I love that for your borrower. That is so fun. Carolina, how did you fall into this?
I pretty much fell into it. I just stumbled into it. Unlike Terrence, I wasn't it wasn't an interest of mine. I had never even thought about a mortgage because I was pretty young, living with my sister. And one of her husband's friends had a broker shop in a small town in North Carolina in Hickory. And he just needed someone that spoke Spanish to help, because he saw a need for that community. And so at first I just took the job because I was looking for a job, and it just seemed like, okay, that seems fun. I can, I always liked helping my community, from translating for my mom to her friends, so I took the job, and I never left. But for me, what keeps me in it is exactly that. It's just the need and my community. There's more of us now. But when I started, 18 years ago, there really wasn't anyone locally that could speak Spanish in lending. And so that was a little bit weird. I think there were only maybe two other people, and they worked for bigger banks. And so if people didn't fit that box that the bank was looking for, then they were sort of like, you know, looked over. And with being in a small company, we were able to, you know, give more opportunity for those, especially for some home buyers. And I don't know, I just, that's what kept me going. That became my why. And that's what kept me in the industry, was just helping the Spanish speaking community, the Latin American community, because there just wasn't really much help out there. And they felt like if they didn't check certain boxes that they couldn't ever really buy a home. Mm-hmm. So, you know, I also learned to become really, really creative for them. And I have a lot of fun with that. That's what I thrive in, is making things work. Yeah.
I love that. And I think you guys both touched on a piece, and Terrence said it first and you said it in a different way, but you know, home ownership, we all believe that home ownership should be a dream within reach for everybody. Mm-hmm. A lot of first time home buyers or first generational home buyers, they don't really know how to achieve that dream. They didn't see it, or they don't know where to start, or they have, you know, trust issues with the system. So what have you guys kind of seen in your markets, and how do you get the first time home buyer to, well, one, get comfortable with, oh my gosh, like, oh yeah, I can do this. Like, it's really not that difficult. The media doesn't, it, you know, I can do this. But also, how are you going out in your communities and kind of helping spread awareness to hope?
Yeah, the answer to the first part, right, is that you as a first time home buyer, and I like how you said, Hannah, a lot of times it's a first time generational home buyer.
Right.
And so it's not, you know, the cup is definitely half full versus half empty. And the pieces that I would continue to charge with every first time home buyer is that you have to first work on getting approved for a home loan. That's first. I think what happens is everyone gets so inundated with the programs. Oh, well, what's the program for down payment? You know, first time home buyer. I have no money, so who's going to take care of all these? And all your questions, all your concerns, they're very valid. But what I would continue to stress amongst every community, especially ours, Carolina and I, would be, and if you've never done this before, is first time sit down with someone across the table, like a Carolina, like a Terrence, like an Atlantic Bay, and let's talk through how we can go about getting you approved.
Right.
No program is going to fund your whole transaction. Mm-hmm. No program is going to make your mortgage payment. You got to be able to make the payment. Mm-hmm. You got to be able to get qualified. And it all starts with those loan programs. There's only five of them. There's only five, ladies and gentlemen. Conventional, FHA, USDA, VA. And then you got jumbo loans. Jumbo loans, there's no down payment assistance. It's jumbo for a reason, right? But all the other four, there possibly could be down payment assistance available to you. And so let's talk it through. Let's see what loan program makes sense for you. What are you approved for? And then we can just begin to layer on those other things, that those like nice to haves. You know what, Hannah? I liken down payment assistance to Aflac. Shouts out to Aflac. Maybe they'll start co-branding and sponsoring our show. But think about that, right? Think about it. We work at Atlantic Bay. We're blessed to have dental coverage, right? I believe it's with MetLife, right? Mm-hmm. Well, MetLife is our plan, our dental plan. But if we want to have something extra to help pay for your kids' braces or all those cavities that we have, or whatever the case may be, well, then you have Aflac. That's the layered on top of it. But I just think that for any home buyer, especially when they're speaking with the masses, is that get with a lender and get approved for the program that's going to make sense, and then layer on the additional piece. What do you think?
Right.
What do you think, Carolina?
Well, I think, yes. I mean, I think also, you know, because everyone sort of thinks, I'm going to find a house first for some reason. You know, they look around at homes and then they come to us. Sometimes there's a lot of disappointment. You know, they might not qualify for that house that they saw. So I think that, especially for first-time home buyers, education and preparation are the two things that I really, really like talk about to all my referral partners, my family, my friends. You know, like, you need to know what you're doing, understand what you're going to do, educate. You know, I try to educate all my clients. I think that when you have knowledge of what you're doing and you understand it, then you can make better decisions for yourself, because everybody is different, you know? And so when I talk, especially with my clients, for my community, it's very common for first-time home buyers to be older. You know, we are seeing younger generations now being more prepared, which is fun. But a lot of them are parents, grandparents who are buying a home for the first time because they thought that, just like in our countries, our native countries, that you have to save up your whole life and then buy something cash, or mostly cash, right? And that's really not the case. And so, you know, I think education is key, but preparation too. You know, just because you might think you're not ready right now, if you're thinking about buying, I think it's never too early to get prepared and learn, so that you know, okay, these are the options that I have, these are the programs. Like Taryn said, you know, not everyone is the same. And so I get a lot of clients that call about down payment assistance, right? Mm-hmm. And so they think that because there's a program, that means that all first-time home buyers can take advantage of it or should take advantage of it. And a lot of times that's not the case. You still need to qualify for it. You might still need to prepare for it, right? There's a minimum credit score requirement. And so, you know, just like Taryn says, it's like, it's not like this program is going to do everything for me. And, you know, no, you still need to prepare yourself. You're going to be the one making the payment. And so I have to talk to my clients a lot about what the program means. Is it really a good fit for them? Can they afford it? And also, I don't know about you, Terrence, but I have that conversation a lot with my clients of, just because this was the case for your cousin, your friend, it's not the same for you. You know what I mean? Everyone has a different job. You have different income. You might have different savings. It's not the same. But also, too, that thought that you need so much to buy a home. You know, I think a lot of my first-time home buyers are blown away by not needing that 20% down payment, mm-hmm. or, you know. And so education is, I think, key for us. And also finding a way. You know, a lot of times people kind of think I'm crazy for telling them no. Like, you have this much money for a down payment, maybe put a little bit less for a down payment and pay off some of this debt that you have. And then all of a sudden they're saving money and being able to buy a home, you know. So that is the fun part of the job for me, really, is finding ways to help people achieve that dream. A lot of them really thought they couldn't.
Exactly. I mean, it's a puzzle. So it's not one, mm-hmm. we would think that one-stop shop, right? It's
right.
Oh, everybody fits into this box, or everybody yeah. fits into this program. And, you know, fortunately it's not. So it is a lot of arithmetic and a lot of creativity that goes into everybody's situation, which is different.
Correct. Mm-hmm.
And I think you guys kind of nailed it. And I'm guilty of this too. You know, you get on Zillow or whatever it is, you're driving down the street and you're like, oh, that's my house. All right, now I'll go do this.
Right.
And then that's when you're realizing, oh shoot, like I can't afford that house, or that house is going to be off the market by the time I get pre-approved. I mean, there's no time. It's too late. And so obviously you guys are seeing that a lot. And I don't think that what people are reading and seeing on social media and wherever is the most accurate information. And so I think there's a lot of, you know, misconceptions around what exactly does a mortgage banker, loan officer do, one,
right.
But also when do I talk to my agent, or are you, do I talk to my agent and then my lender? Do I talk, where do I start?
Yeah.
And so when you guys are out, you know, talking to communities and, you know, just agents and people in general, what is your like number one, here's where you start every single time?
Us first. Talk to us first.
Yeah.
Why, Carolina? Like, dive into it a little bit.
I just think that it's a that is the best course of action to know what you can buy, how much you can qualify for, to then look at homes within those parameters, right? Because I mean, just like you said, you could see a home that you love and then be disappointed because you don't qualify for it, or be surprised that you can actually get something better, bigger, mm-hmm. nicer, right? And so I think that you should prepare, financially be prepared first, and then go search for home. Mm-hmm.
I couldn't agree with Carolina more. The only thing that I would add, and I would say 1A would be create your budget. First time home buyer, create your budget. Then call Carolina. But create your budget, because by creating a budget, you now see on paper what is it that I can afford,
mm-hmm.
right? What I can do, what can I afford? And now I'm going to speak with my banker, I'm going to speak with my lender, I'm going to speak with my credit union, whomever, just to be able to drive the narrative of this is what I can afford. Can I get approved for that? Mm-hmm. I love our builders we work with. I love our agent, broker partners. Whatever the case may be, right? They do their job exceptionally well.
Yeah.
One thing that a builder or a realtor can't do is get you approved financially.
Right.
They can build the house, they can show you the house, they can do all these magical things and make it look good, right? Because they do their job very well, but they can't get you finance. And just like on our end, we can't show houses. We don't show houses. We don't. We don't make that deal, right? We leave that to them to do. But you have to have your finances in check and in place. As Carolina said just a few minutes ago, that disappointment of Hannah, that's my house. Just to find out that when I looked at that house and the payment that was posted there. Oh, how about the payment? Because they put a payment out there because they're not governed. They can do whatever they want.
Right.
And they put a payment out there that doesn't include taxes and insurance.
Mm-hmm.
Well, that payment didn't include mortgage insurance. That payment only included the principal and interest. Or the payment included just something to get you interested in looking.
Mm-hmm. How many times? An ideal rate, too.
Yeah. Right? Yeah. A $300,000 house and your payment is $1,500. Okay. No problem. How much money are we putting down to get to a $1,500 payment? So
right.
We just want to make sure it makes sense. And just to kind of, you know, just to, you know, there's so many landmines just in the process. And so if you can just take a step back, drink a glass of water and say, okay, let me prepare my budget. Let me prepare my budget. And then let me speak to someone that I trust, someone that I'm trying to make it make sense. And that's just for everybody, whether you're trying to refinance a mortgage, right? Well, I'm refinancing a mortgage, but my interest rate is 2.75%. Well, when I look at my debts, and I'm sorry, Hannah, because I know you got another question, but when I look at my debts, right, guess what on my debts? I got a car note that I'm not going to do anything with, but I got credit cards that I'm paying 16-18%, right?
Yeah.
Right. My monthly outgo, forget about that interest rate on your mortgage, but my monthly outgo is far superseding my income that I bring in.
Right.
So what am I going to do? Am I going to refinance? Can I make it make sense? Can I get some of these other debt paid off by using the equity? Again, you have to sit down with the professional to make those decisions and make it make sense from there.
Right. I do have one more comment, because what you said is so huge, like being able to go through your budget and seeing what you can actually afford, because there is a huge difference between what I know my max payment can be and what I may be able to qualify for, right? Because to not go into much detail about all the programs, right? We're only looking at your gross income for the most part and your credit debts. Oh, and those are just the minimum payments, right? but you still spend money on so many other things. So, and we're not taking into consideration your bring home, like your take home income. So, having that budget, I think it's really, really key, because I can tell you, you can afford, you know, a $2,500 a month mortgage payment, but you might say to me, no, my max is $1,800 and I'm not going over that, right? Like, I think that's really, really important, because if you do the opposite and you look at a house first and you're just trying to qualify for that, you have that price in mind, and that means that you're going to push your limits, then you might be setting yourself up for failure.
I love that. That's great. That's all Terrence's hands. That was such a good point, though. And that's one that I don't think gets brought up a lot. I mean, I'm sure it does in your meetings when you guys are talking to, you know, your potential buyers. But, you know, going through high school, college, wherever, if you are that first generational buyer, and, you know, no one's ever told you that. People just tell you, like, hey, that's, you know, 20% down. This is it. This is it. This is it. Conventional FHA, those are your options. Because that's what a lot of people know. And that's all they know. And that's all they hear. And I know, you know, in Carolina's community, a lot of it is, what did your cousin get? What did your neighbor get? What did your friend get? And that's where they, you know, that's where you're getting a lot of the information. And I think that was so spot on. And I'm so glad you said that, because, you know, I think about my friends and my family that are still renters, and I, you know, are constantly having this conversation, and I'm like, no, you don't understand. Like, go meet with somebody. You just have to know what you can afford, because I guarantee you can afford more than you think you can, but you don't, you'll never know unless you ask. And so that's where I kind of want to touch on, you know, there is a, there's a trust issue with the system. You know, people have been told no, their parents have been told no, you know, they're scared of what their credit looks like. They're scared of what it looks like. How do you break down those barriers, and how do you, you know, how do you work with your partners to kind of get people comfortable sharing some of that financial information that they may not want to?
I try to start off with, you know, let me get to know you, right? Just, you know, fully get to know you. Understand exactly, I understand the goal at hand, right? The goal is to purchase a home. Got it. We know what the end goal is. But let's talk, let's just walk this through. Let's just walk this through as we're taking a nice walk in the park, right? Get to know you. So as I'm getting to know you, I'm telling you about me. And try to, you know, bring things down, Hannah, is that, you know, it's a lot of me too's part of my conversation. Mm-hmm. People say, you know, my credit, I know it's bad. Me too. At one point in my life, my credit wasn't good. When we talk about, you know, talk about assets or talk about having money in the bank, you know what? Me too. I live paycheck to paycheck. Sometimes I'm still paycheck to paycheck. And so I just kind of, you know, pull the curtain back, so to speak, and tell them the things that I've been through, the things that I've experienced. I've experienced a divorce. I've experienced a short sale. I know what it's like to have collections and collectors calling me and things of that sort, and I don't have the money. I know what it's like to pull up to my house and have the water cut off. So let's talk about, yes, you can afford the mortgage, but you can't afford your new water payment because you got a water bill that you didn't have before when you were renting that house or renting that apartment, right? So it's a lot of things just to be able to dial it back to show that we are relatable. Carolina and I are very human. And so we just been given the God-given ability just to be able to, you know, be able to relate, and also to be able to say, you know what, we are gifted with the opportunity to show you, hey, if you make these small little changes, watch how life can change for you. You know, you learn how to respect money. I think that's big in everyone's community, but predominantly in our communities, that we learn to respect money and we learn how to manage money. Being able to understand those things is that, you know, I don't need the greatest of, you know, the next shoes that drop. I don't need those, right? It's a nice have, but I don't need them because the house is more important. I like restaurants, but you know what? I don't need to eat out more than once a week, you know? I'm on a budget, Bretter, and make sure that makes sense. But those are the things that, again, not being, you know, stereotypical to any specific group, but that's everyone that understands it across the board. of how to, you know, manage and understand that. But once you do that, Hannah, I think that's when our clients have been able to open up and be able to say, you know what? Okay, they get it. They're not just going to judge me and just look at me as just a piece of paper and just say, you know what? No, nothing we can do. Because even the, I know Carolina for a fact, but even for the clients that we can't help, we still have the same motivation. We have the same conversation with everyone across the board. So it's not a blanket no. It's not a blanket yes. It's this is the process. This is what things are going to look like. And then we go from there.
Yeah. I take the no's as not right now, you know, and try to set them up in a path to prepare themselves to then be ready. Because I think everyone can. But maybe not everyone can right now, you know? Correct. So just preparing them to get there. I tell them, I give them homework, you know?
I'm sure they love that.
Especially on the credit part, right? Because people think that because maybe their credit is not great right now, that they'll never be able to buy. Well, your credit doesn't need to be great, not great forever. You know, and, you know, we have the ability to say these are the things that you need to do in order to get to where you need to be. And sometimes, like Terrence says, they're very small changes that have a huge immediate impact. And then sometimes it's going to take a year to get there. But, you know, life happens. You know, collections are not a reflection of who you are. And I think that that's a barrier that sometimes we need to break of, you know, people sometimes are embarrassed to share their story because, you know, they might have a ton of collections on their credit, but a lot of times the collections are a reflection of what happened to them in life, and life happens to all of us, you know? And so, yeah, being able to empathize and those me toos are so important. And I think that the reason why people don't trust the system is because a lot of times the system is very transactional and not very relational. So, you know, if I'm just doing numbers and it's a transaction, then I lose that human touch. But I like, you know, for the people that are a no, I tell them it's a no right now. But if you do these things, then let's. And I also like to check in with them. Like I tell them, you know, like call me with questions. I'm always here. Or, you know, hey, let's set up a time to talk in 6 months and see where you are in those 6 months. You know, maybe my credit tool is not correct. Maybe in 6 months is better. Maybe it's not going to take the 11 or 12 months that I told you it would take. And giving them hope, because I think that a lot of people have lost that hope because they were told no by the bank and it was just no, and they don't know why.
Carolina coming in with all the good nuggets, all the one-liners.
Yeah, I just, you know, I have so, and we do, I mean, I think you do too, Terrence, right? Like, you know, we've all helped a single mom or, you know, someone that has a lot of collections and their credit score is not great because they had an illness in the past and all those medical collections piled up, right? There's no shame 100%. In that.
Exactly. And credit is just a moment in time.
It's a number.
It's not a depiction of who you are, what you are. It's just you pulled it on this date. And guess what? That's what my score is.
So, yeah.
So we can fix credit. You can fix credit. And it's something that it may be, like you said, it's not a no. It's just a not right now.
Not right now.
Yep. I like that. I love this. I love that. And you're so spot on that, you know, once you start looking at it like a transaction, you can just forget about it because these are people with their own individual stories. And I love that so much. I know we're coming up on time, but I want to ask you guys two more questions. And who knows, this could go another 30 minutes with this crew, but it's fine. So we've kind of touched on trust. We've kind of touched on that a little bit. Inventory is obviously a hot topic. Everywhere you go, they're going to tell you that there's no inventory. You can't buy a house today.
Right.
We know that's not exactly the truth in every market. So with first-time home buyers, when you get that first conversation with them, how are we kind of walking through inventory? Are they coming in negative saying, I don't even know why I'm doing this? Do they already have a house in mind? Are they looking outside of maybe one neighborhood? How do you guys guide them?
So from the inventory standpoint, of course, as I would tell the buyer, it's not what you can control, right? So let's control the narrative. Let's control the things that we can control. First thing that you can control getting approved. So yeah. I would say, yes, let's get approved, because guess what? That approval is going to be good for 4 months. And if you haven't found anything within 4 months, we can do what? We can extend that approval. Exactly. We can extend that approval. So I just try to talk about from the standpoint of, let's control what you control. We, unfortunately or fortunately, we don't control the inventory. You don't control the inventory. Guess what? That realtor doesn't control the inventory. Mm-hmm. It takes a seller to be in place with that being said. I will also instruct that, you know, most, if you're looking to close or looking to buy something, you know, within a certain time frame, then, you know, the folks who are going to have the inventory is the builder. Builders have the inventory right now. And so from a resale standpoint, that's where the struggle may be. But again, depending on your price point is really going to drive the narrative of what does that inventory look like. Someone purchasing, you know, 500,000 and up, 700,000 and up, it's in a different group versus someone who's purchasing from 300,000 to 400,000. You may have more people in that group versus, you know, purchasing a little bit more. So again, my biggest comment back would be just control what you can control. Mm-hmm. And just let the cards play the way they're going to play. Mm-hmm. If it's meant, it's going to be done. It's going to go. We're going to go through the process and be all that. But if you come in, you know, kind of negative or already feeling down because, oh, I can't live in this neighborhood or I can't do that, don't worry about it. Get approved. I guarantee you, when you're approved, everything from the opportunities open up, because you got to see that approval first.
Right. Yeah. I think that's exactly right. And just being ready to go, right? Because of the inventory, then you need to be ready to go when a house does pop up. And, you know, because we've already gone through the approval process, then your offer can be a little bit stronger. You can say, I can close quicker. Yep. And give that seller, you know, a feeling of ease that you've already gone through the whole process. You've already been approved through underwriting and you're ready to go. Exactly. Because the opposite is there's not enough inventory. A house comes up, you haven't gone through the process, and then it's an emergency to get approved. It's not good for anybody involved. And then the house will go under contract in 24 hours.
Correct.
Like, being ready, I think, is really key for when that house does pop up. And it might not be in, you know, 3 or 4 months. We might have to extend that approval, but that's okay. You know?
Correct.
Yeah.
I love that. And then you're ready when it is popped up.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
You can go and go quickly.
Yes.
The other piece that we touched on earlier, but I want to come back to it because it goes back to the education and the fact that, you know, everyone's still, not everyone, but a big majority still does think you need a large down payment. It's going to cost a lot of money to buy that house. But there are so many solutions out there. There's grants and DPAs and closing assistants, and there's just so much stuff.
It is.
You know, how do you guys get the word out to your agent partners, to your builder partners that, hey, even if this person doesn't look good on paper, I still want to talk to them because we still might have a solution here. Not everyone's going to look vanilla and, you know,
cream puff, right?
Yeah.
cream puff. Yeah. No, you just said it, Hannah. We have that conversation. We have the conversation, and also we show them by the examples of our track record. Mm-hmm. Hey, you saw that loan that we just closed? Guess what? You know, not giving you the specifics, but it wasn't a cream puff transaction. These are the things that we had to work on when I first spoke with, you know, Mr. and Mrs. Smith, right? Mm-hmm. We spoke three months ago. Guess what? Our credit scores weren't where they wanted them to be. So we talked about a plan of getting our credit up. Oh, by the way, their funds that they had to save for that earnest money and due diligence, they didn't have it. So they saved the money up. And so that when they came back and they got back in the transaction with you, then they were more buyer ready. And I think that's the key, is that we have to have the conversation with each individual about becoming buyer ready. There is a buyer ready plan for everybody, whether you're going to use your 401k retirement, whether you're going to save for the funds, whether funds are going to be gifted to you, whether you're going to go through and receive down payment assistance. Atlantic Bay. We have our own down payment assistance program with Buyer Boost, right? So mm-hmm. there is a plethora of programs to help with down payment.
Right.
We can exhaust you with that. The biggest piece is, are you buyer ready? Are you ready for that down payment? Are you ready for that monthly payment? Are you mm-hmm. ready to engage and be able to put down the money that you have to put up front? Because there's upfront costs as well, right, Hannah? So there's so many things that go into the process before, you know, just to say someone's not ready or they don't look the part and things mm-hmm. of that sort. But there's a lot of, as someone would say, sometimes you have to kiss a lot of frogs before you find that prince or princess. And that's what we get, you know, that's how we get the biggest bang for our buck. A lot of the larger institutions, and I'm not speaking badly, but it's a numbers game. It's a numbers game where they don't have the capacity or the infrastructure to work with everyone or everybody or sit down and have more of a conversation or relational. I like how Carolina say to make this more relational versus transactional. Here at Atlantic Bay, we do that, right? Every underwriter understands that it's common sense. The common sense thing is, do we think the buyer is going to make the payment? Can we sell the loan? Those mm-hmm. are two things that we can answer. If both answers yes, or maybe is a maybe on none, well, then we can talk it through. And everyone through this whole transaction outside of the buyer, they have to understand that we have our operational partners who understand the model and they understand the task at hand as well. There's going to be some frogs that we're going to have to kiss. There's going to be some massaging of things. Sometimes you got to tell a person, you know what? How about let me see your two paychecks after you've worked, you know, a complete hours. Like, we're always trying to figure out how we can say yes, not necessarily how to say no.
Yeah.
I was going to say, I think Carolina might have just had one of those.
Oh, yes. Yeah, we waited a while. It happens often, but that is so true. I think for us and also the ability that we have to send everything to underwriting, you know, I mean, obviously, for us, we've been in the business long enough that we can put our underwriter hat on and say, yes, I think this is going to work if we do X, Y, and Z. And sometimes we have to tweak things a lot to make it work. And I'm sure for you it's the same, Terrence. My underwriter loves me telling her the story.
Yeah.
And I love sharing it. So I do. I always tell a story because it does make us have that common sense sort of view of things. I have a lot of people, a lot of my business people that have been told no mm-hmm. before. And so, you know, and it's not all what people think. It's not all the people with the lower credit scores and not a lot of money. A lot of times it's the opposite. You know, it's that, you know, the job history is a little wonky, but, you know, they make a ton of money. But if I present it to my underwriter, like, this is why I think it makes sense. A lot of the time she's able to say, yeah, I actually think that does make sense. And, you know, we can definitely sell this loan. But looking at people like people, it's key because, you know, like Terrence was saying, a lot of the larger institutions literally just have boxes to check. And we're all human. Like, we're not all going to check all those boxes. So it's really, really hard to do that. But we're able to really look outside the box a little bit and try to find
sense, right?
Yeah, exactly. Common sense.
Exactly. Yep. Yeah.
I love it. I would definitely not check all the boxes. I can pretty much guarantee you guys that. Me too. Well, thank you guys so much for coming on. I do want to just ask, because we are headed into the last half of the year, which is crazy. We're in the middle of August already. What are the plans for the rest of the year? How are you guys planning on lending it forward to your communities, to your referral partners, and to your future clients I guess it's more or less than half a year, but the second half.
Yeah, for me, it's to continue to not get exhausted, not get down based off of the media outlets and the things that you hear. Continue to persevere, continue to stick to the agenda that we've set forth. and to continue just to help one buyer at a time. That's what it is. It's just one client at a time. So as we continue to push forward and lend forward, every buyer will know that when they speak with Terrence and Carolina, is that they're going to get the full gist of income, assets, credit. Let's talk about it. Let's make sure that we fit the box. And I just said we don't fit boxes, but we're going to make sure that we fit that box and make sure that we're able to lend forward from there. It's just the education. You got to educate. You have to.
Yeah, I completely agree. I think that, you know, like I said, preparation and education are key. We're just going to continue to do that. And yeah, not let the media scare us away from the business, right?
Yeah.
And really getting the word out there that, you know, there's so many people that have been waiting for the market to crash for many, many years, and they missed out on a lot of opportunities, and that will continue to happen. You know, the right time to buy is when it's the right time for you.
Yeah.
You know,
there she goes again, another nugget.
Instead of like, you know, what the media says the right time is for the market, because honestly, who cares what the market will do, right? If it's the right time for you and your family, then you find a way to make it happen. And so, yeah, just to continue to sort of share that with my agents and my clients, because a lot of our agents are also, you know, in danger of kind of, you know, falling for what the media says and just kind of getting down. And, you know, people will continue to need homes. So that's what we're here for.
Yeah. How cool is this, Hannah, right? And Kate, you, I don't know if they, at this part to make the show, but Carolina and I were invited by Barings. So Barings is an institution, but they invited us to come speak to homeowners in regards to, you know, what's out there, how to get engaged, what to do, all that good stuff. They could have called Bank of whoever, they could have called, you know, all these other big folks, but they called Carolina and I from Atlantic Bay, and we get a chance to go speak to over 45 homeowners, potential homeowners, and tell them our story and how we can assist and things of that sort. So
that's awesome. Yes, that's making the podcast. Yes. Tell us when it is.
Yeah, it works. So yeah, we continue to put the good, continue to put get out, good comes back, and we're able to lend that forward.
I love it. When are you guys speaking?
It's actually tomorrow.
Tomorrow.
Oh, shoot.
Yep.
All right. Well, we'll make sure to plug that in here too. And we'll put a link. Is it going to be, it's in Charlotte?
Yeah, it's in Charlotte. Yep.
That's so exciting. Well, I couldn't think of two better people to do it. You guys are phenomenal. We at Atlantic Bay are obviously very lucky to have you, but all of your clients and everyone that you guys touch are just, you know, they're just as lucky. So thank you guys for joining. I could keep going on this topic for 3 hours, but maybe there'll be a round two later on. So thank you guys so much. Good luck tomorrow. And I can't wait to hear about it.
Thank you guys. See you soon.
Thanks again for tuning into today's episode of the Lending Forward podcast. Be sure to subscribe to our channel, follow us on Instagram at Lending Forward, on YouTube and LinkedIn. Tune in next week for another new episode and go lend something forward today. Atlantic Bay Mortgage Group, LLC, NMLS number 72043, NMLSconsumerAccess.org is an equal opportunity lender and employer. Located at 600 Lynn Haven Parkway, Suite 100, Virginia Beach, Virginia 23452.